Well, this morning I'd like to preach out of the second part of this letter to the Hebrews today, from the 10th chapter. It says here, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need to endure to do the will of God and to receive what He has promised." And then it quotes a passage from the Old Testament, one of the prophets. "For after just a brief moment, he who is to come shall come. He shall not delay. But my just one shall live by faith. But if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him. Therefore, we are not among those who draw back and perish," the author of the Hebrews says here, "but among those who have faith and will possess life." Now, again, this is a reminder to us that we have to persevere, that we have to... Jesus said, "He who perseveres to the end will be saved." So we have this this same kind of a thing being said to us here by the author to the Hebrews. It's important. Now, there's a Protestant teaching. Now, again, in fact, to say a Protestant teaching is incorrect. Some of the Protestants, in fact, not even most of them, but some of them have this teaching, once saved, always saved. And it is a teaching among some of the evangelicals and among some of the Baptists. Once saved, always saved. Now, this idea is that, you know, once you've answered an altar call in their tradition or accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that you can never lose that salvation. You're saved and you can never lose it. And I just think that, you know, even psychologically, we have to say, well, that's kind of ridiculous. You know, many of us have made decisions that we were very sure about and later changed our minds. These things, you know, even at a psychological level, this is a strange teaching. But what they're trying to emphasize is this idea that Christ, once he saves you, can never lose you. And so they're putting the emphasis on Christ and what Christ has done. But the problem with this teaching to me is that it's not a biblical teaching. I mean, over and over again, the scriptures warn us about the fact that we could lose what we have. You know, even Paul himself wrote, you know, I discipline my own body, lest after preaching to others, I myself would be disqualified. There's a need to stand firm in this commitment because, yes, the Lord works and he saves us, but our salvation must be a gift that we freely accept and continue to accept. We're free, unfortunately, you might say, to walk away anytime we wanted. God does not rob us of our freedom. So I would just say that again, here we have another example in this text before us of the fact that among those who are currently saved, that one could, quote, fall back and perish. This letter to the Hebrews is saying just that we are not to be among those who draw back and perish. Well, that means there are some who could do that, that is a possibility, that someone who had been, you know, among the saved, had been among the just, could draw back and thereby perish. But he says here, but we are among those who have faith and will possess a life. And these things are said to us by way of teaching in the scripture. Now, I don't want to just make this a theological point and say, well, you see this text. And by the way, I could come up with 25 other texts from the New Testament. All these texts that warn Christians, you know, about the need to persevere. Warn about if we turn to sin that we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Over and over again, passages in the scriptures. But I don't want to just make a theological point and be done. I want to bring it home to us here in the chapel this morning and to say, look, it is important for us to realize this need to daily recommit ourselves to our walk of faith with Christ. It is very, very possible for us to be very devoted at one moment and quite lukewarm at another time in our life. In fact, you know, I as a priest have certainly witnessed people at many different stages of their life and, you know, have certainly received people back into the church who have been away for years. I have also seen, sadly, people who were very devoted to the parish depart and are no longer with us, and they seem to mysteriously disappear. I'm mindful of someone I saw not too long ago at a funeral, and she had been very, very active when I was here on my first tour of duty over 10 years ago. Very, very, very active parishioner here and in many groups. And suddenly I saw her at a funeral. I said, you know, my gosh, what's happening? Are you in another parish now? She said, well, Father, I just kind of slipped away, and maybe I'll hope to be back soon. I called her twice since and tried to encourage, but she's still not back. And if I were to mention her name, some of you might recognize it right away. I won't, just to preserve her privacy here. But again, very, very sad story. I'm mindful of other people. I'm just thinking more generically now. Some people who have been very devoted to God, and then maybe they got into a situation where their marriage went bad, and they got in a second marriage, and they're away from the sacraments, and they just sort of drift away from the church. I'm mindful of other people who maybe on a similar matter, and just regarding sexuality in general, become inappropriately sexually active, and are either fornicating or shacking up, and they too have drifted away. So sometimes sin comes into the picture, you see. And other people, you know, they're very devoted to the church at one time, and they really like, you know, maybe someone is kind of keeping them there, like maybe a pastor they really like, and then that pastor gets transferred, and they just don't like the new guy that comes in, and for whatever reason, and they just drift away. And these are the sorts of things that can happen, and they do happen in people's life. Now, one final thing to maybe say, and then I'll end, is that Paul wrote to Timothy that he should fan into flame the gifts of God's love. Now, the image here, if you ever tended a fire in your fireplace at home, you know, you started out with the kindling and the paper and the log, and it burns really quite well. But after a while, the fire begins to go down, and it becomes more glowing embers as the fire begins to die down. And there's a number of things you can do. You can throw another log, whatever. Another way to get the flame to leap up again is to stir the fire with a poker. And sometimes that causes the flame to reignite and burn a little hotter by getting some more oxygen into it. But the point is that to fan into flame, to take the bellows and put a little oxygen there in the fire and make it leap up. If Paul was saying to Timothy, look, there are just times in your life where you've got to tend to your faith. You've got to fan it into flame. You've got to get back to the sources. You've got to stay close to God and never drift, but we tend to drift, you see. And so we have to fan into flame. Even the best of us, like myself, as a preacher, I try to stay close to God every day, but I, like anybody, can get very busy, and I'm getting anxious about things. And after a while, you know, I suddenly realize, you know, I'm going through the motions, but I'm not really deeply praying when I pray to God right now. I need to take a day or two and take a retreat or get away or go back to a book that's really inspired my faith or do something to kind of rekindle my faith. And this is true for all of us. We're all human, and we tend to drift if we're not careful. So this is something to be sober about. So the final advice here is again just to quote from the passage, and then I'm done. We are not among those who are to draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life. We've got to fan it into flame. We've got to tend to our faith and persevere all the way to the end. Amen.